ओम ज्ञान सुमिरन्तस्य ज्ञानं जन शलाकाय चक्षुर मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
What are his activities? If someone is called a hero, why is he a hero? Just by looking at him, you can't understand that he's a hero. But by hearing about his activities, just like you see, thrown in the corner here, there's some cassette cover with all the heroes of the Indian independence movement. Have you seen that? On the floor there, in the alcove, is Netaji, Gandhiji, Azad, some different people. So if you just see their picture, if you don't know who they are, it doesn't mean anything to them. But if you know why are their pictures, there's so many people of that era who are now dead. They're all dead. So why have their pictures been shown? There's so many people. Even in India at that time, the population must have been 300 million, maybe something more than 100 million shown. So why these people are pinched? Because otherwise they look the same as others. They have two hands, two feet, two eyes, two nostrils, a mouth, hair on their head. Why are these people being chosen? Because of their extraordinary activities in gaining independence for India, the independence movement. So even if someone says, show me God, if we see God, we may not understand that we're seeing Him. That this is God. How can you understand that He is God? What are His extraordinary activities? Those you have to hear about. The residents of Dwarka had heard about His pastimes. They hadn't seen them. They'd seen some of them. But so many pastimes He performed in Vrindavan, outside Dwarka. They'd heard about it, and they'd heard about how He is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of the cosmos. They didn't see Him do it, but they heard about it. They accepted that, and they understood that this is the personality of Godhead. So the residents of Dwarka, they have knowledge of Krishna and at the same time affection for Krishna. Here, you see they're describing, it is He only who creates, maintains and annihilates the material world and yet remains unaffected. So this is a typical description from the Upanishads, how Brahman is unchangeable, unchanging. Yet that Brahman, that Supreme Absolute Truth, is simultaneously the source of the cosmic manifestation. Everything comes, everything emanates from that Brahman. Janmadyasya yataha, the Vedanta Sutra, in summarizing the nature of the Absolute Truth. Akato Brahma Jigyasa. Now we should inquire into the nature of Brahman. What is that Brahman? It is the source of creation, maintenance, and destruction. So this is all based on the Upanishads. This is based on one section from the Taittiriya Upanishad. Yatova imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayatya visham vishanti tad vijigyasasva tad brahmeti. That is the Absolute Truth. That is the subject of discussion. That is the subject to be inquired into. That from which everything emanates, that in which everything rests, and that in which everything is finally annihilated by. So, what is that Brahman? Yatova, that from which, yena, by which, everything is maintained. Yatra, to which, different cases. What is the Brahma? The source of everything, the supreme greatness. But what is that? Those who are followers of the Upanishads, they can't understand. Simply the Brahman, the supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth, has been distinguished as non-different from matter. But very clearly, what is the nature of that Brahman? It's not itself. So, see, Brahman, that is the source of everything, yet is unchanging. So those who simply follow the Upanishads without understanding actually what is the message of the Upanishads, that Supreme Brahman is Krishna. They presume that the Supreme Absolute Truth cannot be a person. Because you see every person is, the Absolute Truth is distinguished from matter. It is the source of everything, in which everything rests. So if we see any person in this material world, and he's not unchanging, he's always changing. You see him always change, just like you. How can you say a person is not changing? It's not possible, because you see, now you're sitting like this, and next second you're sitting like that. One time you're in a happy mood, another time you're in an angry mood. So you're changing. So how can the Absolute Truth be a person? The Absolute Truth is unchanging. So therefore they conclude that the Absolute Truth is impersonal, which is true. But it's not the full understanding of the Absolute Truth. They deny, when they hear descriptions of the Supreme Lord as the Supreme Absolute Truth as a person, they deny it. It doesn't seem to fit. How is it that the Absolute Truth is unchanging? If he's a person, of course they have so many philosophical problems themselves. Because then they say, well, how is it that the whole material world is changing? And there's nothing but Brahman, so this material world is also Brahman, and it's, everything here is changing. So how do they explain that? And then they say, well, actually this world doesn't exist. It only appears to exist, because you see, it's all Brahman. It's changing, so that's not the nature of Brahman to change. So, this can't actually exist. That's right. That's the conclusion. Wrong. Got it wrong. Actually, simply by the Upanishads, it's not possible to understand Krishna. Simply by understanding. And of course, there's also Gopal Tapani, in which Krishna is clearly explained. But simply by reading, you cannot understand. Simply by reading these Upanishads, it's an interesting thing. I was just in Jaipur, so there's some discussion of our friend Devarshi Prabhu, who was there previously. So Ramanuja was telling me how about his astrological adventures and how he's become quite good at astrology. But I said to Ramanuja, you know, he's quite seems to understand the theory, but everything he predicts seems to be wrong. He's got the idea, but everything doesn't come out right in the end. So Ramanuja was saying, yeah, that's true, that one of the best astrologers in India is in Jaipur. Of course, one of the best astrologers in India is around everyone's corner. They're all called the best astrologers in India. So he was saying that, yes, he has a good theoretical grasp of the subject, but he's just got it from reading books. He was never trained. So he makes very, even though he's got a good theoretical understanding, when it comes to practical application, he makes very basic mistakes. And therefore, all his predictions are wrong. At least, all the ones that I heard of him. He was also, I think according to Devarshi, there should have already been a world war by now, right? Most astrologers. There should have been annihilation by now. I guess he has to recalculate again. So it's the same thing. People read the Upanishads, but they don't get guided by Tattvadarshi. They read books, but they're not guided. They don't understand. They make basic mistakes. Even then, they may be followers of the Upanishads who are Tattvadarshi. It means they see the Absolute Truth, but only as the impersonal Brahman. Vadanti tatvamidam tatvam yajjnanam advayam prameti paramatmeti bhagavan vishabhyate. So those who are knowers of the truth, they may be Brahmavadis, Paramatmavadis, or Bhagavatavadis. They may understand the Absolute Truth either as fully impersonal, localized, Paramatma, or as the Supreme Absolute Truth. So they may be, in one sense, they're Tattvadarshis, but they're not, they're seeing the truth, but not seeing with proper understanding. Just like if you see someone who knows the sun, yes, the sun is the light in our room. They also know the sun, but it's very incomplete understanding. So mostly the followers of the Upanishad, those who are attracted to the Upanishad, they're mostly attracted to the Jnana Marga, which it's all said in you're told that what it's not clearly delineated, what the absolute truth is. Tamishvaranam paramam maheshram, even the supreme controller is referred to. But who exactly it is, it's all kind of vague. And they like that, because they don't want to surrender to Krishna. When they hear, sarvadhamam, oh, that's too simple, that's too straightforward. That's for the less intelligent people. And for us, we'll, you know, tam ishvaranam, tam exactly what is it? Tatvam asi, tat and tvam, and you see the books and books of tatvam asi they're describing. You are that. You, what does that mean? Ah, what does that mean? That, what does that mean? And so they enjoy this mental speculation. But it doesn't bring them to the absolute truth. That's for them. They can give them something to do because they've given up karma. So they've got to do something. So they enjoy speculating on the absolute truth. But they don't come to the conclusion that that absolute unchanging person is Krishna. Well, how is he unchanging? Because he's a young boy, then he grows up, and then he goes to Dwarka. How is he unchanging? They don't understand that Krishna, he's several times he mentions in the Gita, they don't understand me. Avajananti mam mudha manushin kalamashudam parambhava majananta manabhuta maheshma. They don't understand me. When I appear in the human form, they take me to be an ordinary person, but I am the supreme controller. Then there are so many verses like that. This Mahatma nasti mam pata driving prakriti nashya vajanti nanya manasa gyadva bhutadim avyayam. That those who are Mahatmas, they understand me. Krishna is the supreme person. Avyayam means unchanging, inexpendable. Avyayam literally means he doesn't lose it. He's not losing anything by doing anything. That will be discussed in the next verse. That how everything comes from Krishna, but he remains unchanged. Purnamadakvanam, purnat purnam udachate, purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vishishyate. This verse appears to the impersonalists to establish a oneness. Everything is simply one, complete. But that one is Krishna. They don't understand how, as the supreme transcendental person, he's not under the laws of material nature. It's like if I do something, I burn up some calories, I lose something. Or as I'm living in this world, time is affecting me. But Krishna, even though he comes in this world, he's a person, but he's not affected. He doesn't lose anything or gain anything by his activities in this world. He's not under the influence of time. He's the controller of time. So they say, well, he's changing. You see, he's a young boy and he grows up. But that he's simply using time, who is his servant, to enact his activities, his pastimes. He's not under the control of time. He's not under the namam karmani limpanti, name karma salai spriha. He's not affected by the results of his actions, nor does he desire the fruits of his actions. He only appears to a materialistic person to be as such, but those who are actually tattva-darshis, they understand that he is not affected by this material world. He may say, well, you see, there's this Gandhari. She cursed Krishna. Or you will have to, how is that? She cursed him. You will also have to see all your family members destroyed. So you see, materialistic person, you see, she is affected by the curse of Gandhari, because it's because of you, she said, that all these people, all my family members died, so all your family members should die also. So actually, it's not because of Krishna that all the family members are dying, it's because they're all rascals. That's the fact. Krishna, he's the ultimate cause of everything, but in his pastimes, he became the instrument for their destruction. Otherwise, what everyone gets, he's neutral. Samaham Saravabhuteshu. He's equal to all. But what we get, the result of our activities, Purusha Sukha Dukhanam, Bhukti Vrihi Purushasi. We are the cause. If we get a good result, we are the cause. If we get a bad result, we're also the cause. Generally, people, you see, if something good happens to them, or some good luck. Just it. I'm so good. Huh? Someone is, by luck, he gets appointed at some big job. You see, I'm so great, therefore they appointed me. I did it so wonderfully. Huh? Well, but anything bad he does, well, it's just my bad luck. He takes all the credit, but the blame, he has nothing to blame for. But both good and bad that happens to you, that's all up to you, because you are Purusha. Purusha, so you are a tiny Purusha. You're given some independence. I can enjoy it. It's not Krishna's fault. He can blame. Anything good happens, it's I did it. Anything bad happens, it's God's fault. He should arrange for my happiness. So Krishna, he was not actually the cause of their destruction. They brought it on themselves. But Gandhari cursed him like that. So he's not affected by any curse. But anyway, that was favorable for his pastimes, because he wanted to send them all away anyway. There's so many, in every leela of Krishna, there are so many points to be understood. So many things. Krishna does so many things in one activity. He removed the burden of the earth, the Yadu dynasty. Why are they considered a burden? Considered a burden because we somewhat puffed up thinking Krishna is our protector. So we can't do anything wrong. You see, even someone, in this that refers to those who are the demigods, who take the higher planets, to be Yadus. So they have some material contamination still. You know, they're devoted. They're some materialistic way of thinking. So we find even someone may be a very saintly person, but position can affect them. So they have the position as the friends of Krishna. No one could defeat them. There is power there by the grace of Krishna. They're as powerful as Krishna within the sphere of this material world. So Krishna removed them and sent them back to their post as demigods. So he had so many points. Also, he didn't want to. Embarrass Gandhari by her curse not being coming true. So he accepted that for the sake of his pastime. But otherwise, he's not under the control of anybody. He's unchanging. Unchanging means he undergoes no material transformation. This is the point in this. The Upanishad distinguishes spirit from matter. So the Supreme Spirit, he is not under any material transformation. Because matter has six kinds of, anything material has six kinds of transformation. Means birth, growth, sustenance, maintenance, production of byproducts, and death. Anything material goes through these changes. So the followers of the Upanishads, they presume that what is spiritual, there's no growth, there's no such transformation of any kind. Simply non-activity. They don't understand that on the spiritual platform, there is also transformation, but the intrinsic nature is not changed. Therefore, it remains the same. Krishna, he has to grow from a young child to a boy, to a youth, but he intrinsically, he doesn't change, he remains the same, he's always Krishna. Again and again he's coming in different universes, same Krishna, same pastor, same younger, same Yashoda. So he's not changing. He remains always in his position of Shuddha Sattva. Whereas in the service, the body is always, someone in the material world is changing. This body will change, final change is death, and then you get another body which is completely different. It's constant flux. But Krishna is not under any such change. It is very difficult for them, those who have any personal concept to understand. Those who are attracted to that impersonal concept, they can't recognize the supremacy of Krishna. But those who do understand that he is a person, Supreme Absolute Truth is a person, then having come to that stage, they can gradually go up to the stage of appreciating his pastime. These are very difficult for the non-devotees to understand. Even the impersonalists, they discuss it. The impersonalists, they discuss the pastimes of Krishna, but they cannot understand them. They think they're symbolic, or they think they're supposed to represent some moral principles. And in this way, they consider themselves very pious, discussing the pastimes of Krishna in person. And it's good for people to hear these speech. Huh? Satkata. Excellent pastimes. So these are excellent pastimes to discuss. And the descriptions are there in the Bhagavatam. Sikam prasam dana bhagavaya sangrido bhavanti vishkana vishkana kata. Now, it's beneficial to hear the pastimes of Krishna. The non-devotees also impose themselves in the Bhagavatam. He says, yes, it's beneficial to hear the pastimes of Krishna, because that will help us improve in our moral standards. They don't understand the intrinsic, independent position of Krishna, independent, above the modes of nature. Actually, before anyone studies this Bhagavatam, they should study this first verse and accept it. Accept it at least in principle. That's what Prabhupada says. If you want to study Bhagavad Gita, then you should at least at first in principle accept the understanding of Arjuna, because he understood that. He understood this. At least theoretically, you should accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personal Godhead. Otherwise, you can't begin to understand. It's such fools that Arjuna, he's accepted Krishna spoke, and Krishna spoke to Arjuna with a specific purpose. And Arjuna, he asked Arjuna at the end, have you understood? Arjuna said, yes, I understood. Now I'm ready to fight on your order. So they presume that, well, maybe Arjuna understood it, but I'll understand it in a different way. And they don't understand. In the same way, to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, we should try to understand what are the meanings of these words. Huh? Abhijya, Swara, is all cognizant and independent. What is the meaning of this being independent? Immediately, we have to accept Krishna's different position, transcendental position, above the notion of Srimad. Independent means, Janadhyaka Yataha. He is the source of everything, material and spiritual. He is all cognizant of that he is independent of it. He's not controlled by his creation. He's not controlled by it, and he's not weakened by it. He doesn't become dissipated. He's unwilling. Doesn't lose any potency by creating the material world. So all these points, they're properly understood, then the greatness of Krishna is understood. Then these pastimes can begin to be understood. You see people, they're speaking Krishna's pastimes in the public place. They have no idea what is his philosophy. They must absolutely assured they're going to misunderstand. And they do misunderstand Krishna. That's why other things should be taken from the beginning. Not just pick up the same plant and hear some stones. But what are you going to hear? Someone stealing butter. And there may be so many people stealing butter. But who is that stealing butter? He's the source of all the butter in the universe. He's taking people's wealth. Who is he? He is the supreme. He's the source of all of these gopis and their husbands. So where is the, therefore, Amoga Lila? He's past times there. There's no question of any sin or contamination. So this is, as I said here, the reaches, these pastimes of Krishna, they're described in the confidential parts of the Vedas, or the confidential devotees. Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not meant simply for just some light talk, discussion. It's like your friend coming, let's discuss Bhagavad Gita. This is just something, while we could talk about the weather or the political situation. Let's talk about Bhagavad Gita. Now, I'm a great fan of the Gita. Let's just talk about it. But what about you want to do? You can talk for hours and go this way. They love it. Intellectual fun. But what's the purpose? Go clean the floor. That's Bhagavad Gita. Shanghai Krishna. This is Bhagavad Gita. The rascals, they protest against Bhagavad Prabhupada, Gita as it is. In so many purposes, Prabhupada is saying, you have to purport to this verse is you should chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. They protest. Where is that in the Gita? It's not Bhagavad Gita. Rascal. They don't know. We should study all these. You can help it. Then you can understand. It's very confidential. It's not just a matter, well, I'm going to go to university, so what shall I study? Shall it be medicine, or law, or engineering, or couldn't get in any of those, wasn't intelligent enough. Okay, well, there's still a place in the Indology and philosophy department. Okay, I study Bhagavad Gita. Let's see now. I've become an expert on Bhagavad Gita. It's just like, you know, every time I may study this, the history of ancient France, or it's just when you take the subject with all the facts and figures, and then you give some interpretation, and then you become a PhD. In the same way, you see here's the Bhagavad Gita, and here's Shankara's commentary, Ramanuja's commentary, Gandhi's commentary, and now it's time for my commentary. A new commentary. And you see there's the verses, and I studied Sanskrit. And you see, this word can be interpreted this way and that way, and when it dramatically juxtaposed with this, we could interpret it another way. And I'm an expert in Sanskrit. The verses are there, I can also interpret it. Why not? Why not? Because you're already bound from the Sanskrit in the very beginning. Banned by this. Maya apahita jnana. You think you're intelligent, but you're in Maya. It's like Arjuna was in Maya, identifying with the body. First, understand this point. But no, no. How should I understand that? Come on, let's get my PhD. I think I love this body. How am I going to get a PhD? You should be serious about it. The purpose of life is to get a PhD, become famous as a scholar. So they missed the point. Can't understand Krishna. Even though they may be very learned. Still in India today, there are people who are very learned in Shastra. There are some people who are a little bit learned. It's like you're finding now you're going among these professors. And many of them know the verses from Gita. They don't know anything what the Gita is about. They have no idea. They completely misunderstand because they don't hear it from the right source, in the right system, with the right attitude. So same thing, Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the exposition of all the Vedas. Whatever is expressed in the Gita, succinctly or concisely, is expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam in great detail. And even that detail is there. You see any words in Bhagavatam, that can again be described. So much, it's unlimited. There's no end to Bhagavatam. To explaining all these points. You can reach the end of explaining that. Therefore, Maharaj Pitu, we find, he was asking, we're finding this Bhagavatam. He's asking for the benediction of 10,000 years. It sounds like an unusual benediction. 10,000 years. So I can hear all the narrations of the devotees. Because they all have so many different realizations about Krishna. You see, now we're having Bhagavatam class here, and there's so many ISKCON centers around the world, and there's so many classes going on throughout the day. So many different realizations of Krishna. It's unlimited. What are the realizations of Krishna? What are the understanding of Krishna? Of course, we want bona fide understanding, not imaginary. But bona fide unbonafide understanding, they're also unlimited. But bona fide understanding, it's also, there are so many different points, especially disciples of Bhakti Sanatana Thakur used to say that whenever he would sit and speak about Krishna, which he did regularly, which was his prescription for the rule of the world, Harikatha, he would have festivals of Harikatha. And have a festival, 7-day festival. What? Just one lecture after another. So in Mayapur festival, in the beginning, that was what it was. All the devotees come to Mayapur, and the Tava is just flashed in the morning, and then all day, one Sunday, another Sunday, another Sunday, all day, Harikatha festival. So Bhaktisthana Sarasar Thakur, every time he sat down, so many different new ideas, new realization, so many different things. So Prithu Maharaj is requesting, How come he collects all this nectar? These Mayavadis, they simply want to make everything one, just one. You understood. Now I've understood Brahma. I've become one with Brahma. But all, what is that to say? Undifferentiated, unending, unchangeable.